Welcome to the Holy Eros Podcast, your home for all things holy and intimate. I'm Phoenix.
And I'm Sonia. We're here to delve deep into the transformational power of intimacy, sacred sexuality, and the ways relationships shape our lives. These immersive conversations are explorations of a world aching for connection, but struggling to find it.
We meet at the intersection of soul, sex, and the art of the heart, where we steep ourselves in the power of healing through ritual, magic, honest conversations, and of course, pleasure.
We're here to gather with teachers, experts, friends, and explorers who can talk about what hurts and how to heal so we can elevate and amplify the sacred nature of love and restore its power in our own lives and yours.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Holy Eros Podcast. This is Sonia here, and I just wanted to drop in and share with you that we're doing something a little bit different for this particular episode. We are offering a workshop called The New Rules of Dating. We ran this live last week, and we wanted to share this topic here as well because we recognize how confused people are about love and dating and sex and all of it. It seems like the rules have not only changed, but they change every day. Bottom line, the thing that we want to get across with this is that you are not a victim to the rules. Instead, you can actually shape the rules and you can affect how the dating world exists right now by being the one that you want to see in your dating field. If this concept intrigues you, then I want to invite you to check out our upcoming Mythic Love course, which we're referring to as a journey on becoming the one. We start November 19th, and we have a couple of really juicy bonuses still available on our website, so check them out or send us a DM because we also have a ton of free resources to help you get started on your Mythic Love journey. So you can check us out, holyerosinstitute.com. Our Mythic Love journey is a 90-day experience on uncovering self-love like you have never experienced it before. Hope you enjoy the show.
So we decided to bring everyone together for the new rules of dating because a lot of things have changed in the last 10, 15 years with the advent of online dating and how people are meeting each other. And one of the deeper pieces that we want to bring to all of you is that when we change how we show up in dating and relating, things begin to shift around us. And that's actually what we're going to be looking at today in the new rules of dating, is how you can actually begin to shift your perspective on how you approach dating, how you approach building meaningful connections with people, and how that can actually shift your experiences, whether it's meeting people online, whether it's through events, through family, through friends. And so we're really excited to get into this because it's a really huge topic right now. There's a lot of people in the health and wellness space, relational space, who are talking about this, that there's a crisis of romance. There's a crisis of love right now. And we're here to talk about it. So with that, we actually would love to get started. And I'd love for Sonia to hop on here and just begin to share a little bit about an arc of how dating has changed in the past 10 years specifically. And what are some of the things that are coming up right now in the relational space, in relationship dynamics with people in dating and relationships? Sonia?
I want to start off with just my personal story, because Phoenix and I are really committed to building things that are based on not only what we see our clients going through, but also like the stuff that we're experiencing, because both she and I have been in the dating world for many years. So my personal story with this, I was a serial monogamist, like literally from the time I was 21 years old until about 4 years ago. I was in a series of monogamous relationships that were, you know, back to back, and was just like partnership to partnership to partnership. Okay. And so when I opened into the dating world again, it was like as if I had been transported from a different time and space.
you know, obviously I was meeting people on the apps, and what I was finding was like people just stopped responding to messages. Like they would, you'd be like in this great chat and you're like going strong, and then boop, they just stopped. Or people would say things like, oh, I'm only looking for, you know, a sexual partnership, or, you know, friends with benefits. Or they would often say things like, well, I was really hurt by my last relationship, and therefore I'm not really, you know, interested in anything serious. I was like, I set on this mission to be like, what in the world happened? How did we get this way? Now, there are a couple of things that historically we can look at, and I want to bring those forward as like, you know, my time traveling moment of coming and waking up and seeing like, wow, everyone is suddenly emotionally unavailable and, you know, just unavailable in general, right? And so some things that have happened, okay? So let's look at some history. For most of our recorded history, in fact, all of our recorded history has been shaped by the experience that women have not had financial sovereignty. Now, I'm going to just put this into perspective for you. My mother was the first generation to be able to get her own credit card. I remember being a kid and she still had a credit card with my dad's name on it. I was born in 77, right? Like this is how recent it was. It was one generation ago. You know, with that financial entanglement with our partners, women had to kind of take whatever came, right? And so there was a lot of the focus at the time was a lot of times on women being treated like property, essentially. You know, the concept of a dowry or like the burden of financially caring for a woman was passed from father to husband. So that shifted dramatically in the 1970s, and it continued to shift more and more. And so where we're at right now is that women are for the first time, by and large, financially sovereign. This is a massive break. It's a massive shift. And I just want to emphasize again, we're talking, you know, 70 years of having that experience. Okay. Maybe like just beginning to have that, and like probably 50 years of having it for real, 30 mm-hmm. years of having it as like a standard norm.
Yeah.
So this is a big thing. This is a big shift in how we relate, because what happens is that now men, and we're talking heterosexual relationships, and like we can drop into like all the other dynamics with gender fluidity and queer relationships, right? Like there's all these different things that have come into play, but we're going to talk specifically about heterosexual relationships here. Men now have had to learn what it means to be in a relationship. No longer are they just a given, right? Like that they are like needed because a woman and her children could not physically survive without a man. And so now you have this whole, again, their history is that they were never really taught a lot of emotional tools.
Nobody was actually like, we go to school for how long, you know, 12 years. I think that's like the, you know, public school system, right? Then you go to university and then you study a trade, and we literally get no relational training in that whole entire time that we are supposed to be studying and learning things, which is quite interesting.
Absolutely. I think that's a huge factor. It's a huge factor. And because women tend to be taught more emotional skills, like we have these intimate relationships. Like I always give this example of like the men's trips versus the women's trips, right? Like if a bunch of women go off on a trip together, they go to Hawaii and they're on the beach or whatever, like there is so much emotional processing that happens in those experiences. Like there's like, we're weeping and we're like dredging up all of our things. And we're right? Like we're in love with And what happens a lot with what I hear with men's trips is that it's, you know, kind of a lot of cajoling and a lot of playfulness, but it doesn't go really deep. It's like, you know, kind of a playful attitude. And so where we're at now is a space where women have now gained financial sovereignty and have had more emotional intelligence, but not, like you said, Phoenix, I think it's a really good point. Not great. It's not been great what we've been taught all the time. Yeah. And then men, where they've had financial sovereignty, are now having to learn what else they can bring to the table. And so women are asking for more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think as a whole, you know, we're all being asked to evolve and grow in how we approach relationships. And I think I read some stats that, you know, we just used to find and meet people that we, you know, met through our family and friends. Like that was actually statistically how you met people. And now close to 80% of people are meeting online. And what happens is there's no social trust, right, with those connections. So, you know, when you're meeting somebody online, like, they don't have any social trust to be like, well, I can't treat this person like garbage because my Aunt Marie knows them, right? People are like, well, I'm just going to toss and discard this person away or ghost them or whatever onto the next. And because there's no social trust to ensure, right, that people will treat each other with decency. And so we're really seeing this like consumerism happening with people in the dating and relating space. I think that that's a big piece as well. That I think is also tied to porn addiction, right? In terms of like how people consume porn, it's like, well, on to the next, on to the next, on to the next. And what happens is people are taught how to catch love, but not how to nurture it. And especially men. And again, I really deeply feel for the crisis that men are in too, as well with relationships, because they're literally not brought through rites of passage. They're not supported in how to nurture relationships as a whole. And so a lot of people are struggling in these spaces, which is why we are bringing this to everyone today.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, what's interesting is that there is also, from women's perspectives, there's a lot of anger that's surfacing right now about historical anger. And, you know, also I have to mention the fact that we are just now discovering the impact of the collective and individual trauma. I always share this stat because I find it really fascinating. So PTSD, as post-traumatic stress disorder, as a category, was not included in the DSM, which is the psychological guidebook for diagnosing mental illness, was not included in that book until 1980, which means that we have had centuries of collective and individual trauma that have been unacknowledged. And so right now we're in this space of, it's kind of like what happens often when a person enters their healing journey and then all of a sudden it's like a train wreck, because you're like discovering all these things and it does fade away. I've seen it happen multiple times. It evens out, but we're in this space right now where we're all like, everyone's traumatized. We're also coming out of a post-pandemic world. COVID made it harder for us to trust social connection. The rise of dating apps skyrocketed during that time. It's become kind of our only way to meet people. And on that same note, we also, with the online world, we have the challenge that breakups are not clean. They're not clean experiences. You have someone you break up with. They still look at your Instagram stories every day. You have, you know, this decision of like, should I unfriend them on Facebook? You know, should I unfollow them on whatever? Like, should I block them?
Yeah.
We didn't have that before. It was like you broke up with someone and
you had to go and see them in person and actually break up with them in person.
Yeah.
What a concept, hey? What a concept. Yeah.
So there's a whole lot of stuff that's happening right now. Not to mention the sexual standards that have changed, right? So as we've gotten more sexual openness, sexual sex positivity, we have been trying to figure out the boundaries with that, right? Like this idea of a situationship, which is kind of this like undefined relationship. It's a pseudo relationship based on two people who kind of do everything that seems like they're in a relationship. Like they can have sex without necessarily committing to one another. And then there's like, there's not a commitment. And so that sex is, while I'm a huge fan of sexual sovereignty and sexual awakening, you know, we do have to recognize that there's a shadow side to it. And, you know, with sexual liberation comes sexual responsibility. Mm. And that's the part that we're starting to
have. Yes. Mic drop. Mic drop. And so, yeah, in today's journey here in our workshop, we do want to bring you through a somatic practice as well to have a look in the mirror too, as well, and take some ownership over where are you either blocking love, where are you running from it, where are you doubting it, right? So we're going to go through a practice, a somatic practice. And then we're also going to go through a practice where you're going to get clear on what are some of your values that you're holding on to in love that you actually want to create a foundation with? And that becomes your standards, right? And what's great about standards is there are also these boundaries that if someone doesn't meet that standard, that you can be like, you know what, this is actually more important to me than continuing to engage. Or that person can be like, wow, I'm ready to meet that standard that you're holding. So we're going to go through that practice as well, which is really powerful for calling in the kind of connection and relating that you want to have. right? And I've seen time and time again, when we create these standards for how we want to be treated, this is actually the ultimate first step of calling in the kind of partnership or love that you want, because you're actually doing yourself a service and loving yourself enough to understand what your standards are. It's kind of like, if we don't have a standard, you know, I love the food metaphor, right? You go to a restaurant, you know, you get sat down and, you know, a waiter comes up to you and they're like, what would you like to eat? And you're like, I don't know, food, right? Just say love. Love is the same thing. You're like, I don't know, love. And the waiter's like, okay, sure. Let me just come right back. And they come back and they bring you fries and a burger. And you're like, but I'm vegan. I can't eat this. And the waiter's like, well, you just said food. I brought you whatever, you know, maybe that food to you is a situationship. Maybe it's a one night stand. Maybe it's being in a relationship with someone who's already in another relationship. Maybe it's someone who's toxic or abusive, right? So getting clear on what kind of food you want to eat, right? AKA what kind of relating you want to experience, is really valuable for calling it in. Because then when you start to say no to the universe and what it's showing you, you start to disrupt the patterns that maybe your parents have passed on to you around relating. So this is huge generational work that we are doing to clear relational patterns and how love has been taught to us or modeled to us, especially growing up in a society where a lot of it hasn't been healthy. Yeah. So it's like, how does one then repattern, right? And it's through these practices that we're going to go through.
I really love what you said, Phoenix, about this healing generational work, right? Like, this is ancestor healing. These are the choices our parents could not make. Grandparents, our great grandparents, and the ability to actually turn toward love with openness about what we offer love and what we want to receive from love, that is groundbreaking, revolutionary work.
Exactly. And so, just speaking to this piece that, like, love is also the greatest mirror. The greatest mirror, right? And, you know, I really believe in the things that are showing up in our lives are mirroring to us how we feel about ourselves, right? So, you know, if we are consistently looking for validation, right, it means that we're not seeing ourselves. If, you know, this is one pattern, right? And we'll go through actually a list in a moment, but the things that are showing up in your life or not are mirroring back to you what you believe in about yourself and what you're worthy of. And that can be really powerful to take ownership over that. One thing before we get into this practice, I'd love for you to just call into your heart. This is a really powerful practice. It's called the Conscious Counsel. Okay. And so just take a moment to drop into your heart and bring to mind a couple that you really admire. Okay. This could be your grandparents. It could be family members. It could be some leaders in your community. It could be celebrities. But just think about a couple that really represents loving, healthy relationship to you. Just take a moment to tune into their energy. And the reason why I really love this practice is that the more that we start to look towards healthy examples of love, and we give our focus to that, it starts to open up the energetic pathways as well. I like to say, put those people in your journal, write them down, and think of them as like your invisible counsel. And whenever you're needing to get some advice or like tune in with yourself, you can check in with them energetically and be like, hey, Yeshua and Mary Magdalene, or Isis and Osiris, or Mark and Mark, I don't know, like whoever you feel resonant with, tune in with them. You can ask them. But we're going to get into a little bit of self-work, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to do a practice that is connecting with the vessel of your body to tune in with the energetics and to ask your body, which one of these relational patterns do you notice like a flare of energy or a clenching or a contraction around? It's so easy to say, oh, well, things aren't working out in my dating life because of, you know, the shitty women that are showing up, right? Or the shitty men, or, you know, blame, right? And actually, sometimes these things are coming into our field because of something within us, right? And for anyone who's really fascinated with family constellation work, repatterning work, when you understand that your parents actually modeled to you the frequencies of the inner masculine and feminine in your body, whether that was distorted or toxic, like they literally gave you a vibrational frequency of the two inner energies within yourself, within your body. And so being able to start to repattern that is looking at what is currently in your system. Again, closing your eyes. And I'm going to invite you just to tune in with your body as I speak to these relational dynamics and patterns, and just be honest with yourself around what resonates for you. Okay. Do you find yourself obsessing over people that don't reciprocate? Do you find fixation is easy for you? Do you feel like you place unreasonable expectations on others? Do you feel like perhaps you're avoidant and you actually run from moments of love or intimacy and connection? Do you feel like perhaps there's some energetic shields that you are carrying to protect yourself? And this can look like, God, where are all the good men or women? And actually not allowing yourself to be open and vulnerable. Or do you feel like you use people? Maybe you go through a lot of people in your dating rotation, or you are constantly going through relationships and moving through them really fast and then moving on to the next right away. Okay, so just noticing what arises in your body and connecting which one of those really stood out as landing as a, yeah, I maybe do a little bit of that. And of course, with understanding these patterns, it's also important to practice forgiveness. And so we're going to begin to shake these out in our body, to shake them loose, to let them go. And so we're going to do a shaking practice. And shaking practice is really powerful for releasing emotions that are stuck in the body. It helps to release energy. And so we're actually going to begin to release that energy from your body. Okay, so you can either do this seated or you can stand. But we're going to just begin to shake our body for a good couple minutes here. Okay. And to shake loose the hopelessness, the frustration, the boundaries that maybe are too strong, you know, the energetic protections and shields that we hold over ourselves. So we're going to have Sonia play a song. Yeah. So you can begin to shake your hands. Feel the energy flicking off of your body. Begin to shake your head. Shaking your shoulders. If you want to stand and shake, you can begin to do that as well. Loose all of the things that you have held on to that are blocking love and life. Shaking, shaking.
We're going to make some noise if that's calling to you.
Make some little growls, howls. Shaking.
What are you releasing? You're shaking. What pattern of stuckness?
Going to begin to turn the music down a little bit.
One of the things I want to bring in now, we've released, we've let go of a lot of stuff. And this is only scratching the surface. When I was first taught ritual in my early 20s, one of the things that I was always taught is to close with some sweetness. And so what we're going to do here, we're going to do a fake laughing practice. And the reason why I'm bringing this in is because the situation that we are in is so unbelievably ridiculous at this point. Like, we have to be able to laugh at it. And so what happens is that when we actually do fake laughter, it often creates a ripple of real laughter that comes out. Laughter is a wonderful way to release. It's got, you know, just like breath, it connects the vagus nerve and it allows us to have that deeper full body release. So we're just going to begin with just, you can put your hands on your belly if you want. And you're just going to come in and you're just going to make like the silliest laugh you could possibly make. I'm going to practice it with you too. See, I already got you laughing. Thank you all so much for being silly.
thank you. Hey,
Sonia here. I'm going to interrupt our workshop podcast with a quick question for you. What if you could heal the wounds you have around love? And what if that healing process were actually fun? I want you to imagine that as a real possibility that you could have in this lifetime. If you could heal the wounds around love, what would you have as a result? What would you offer the world? And what if you knew that a group of people were also committed to healing, to creative expression, to learning to love better, starting with loving themselves? This is exactly the kind of journey that Phoenix and I are offering with Mythic Love. In 90 days, you will undergo a transformation in the way you approach love, sex, and dating in your life. And we're not just going to talk our way through the wounds. We're going to move, we're going to dance, we're going to make art, we're going to learn mythology, and we're going to make healing actually fun. We promise. If you're a full fuck yes to this, then sign up for Mythic Love. We're going to start November 19th, and we cannot wait to see you find the love that's been waiting for you.
So we've spent some time talking about the problem. And we want to give you some hope. We're going to give you some hope. And what we want to do right now is offer you a little bit of some practice. Our next activity is about learning how to love again, how to trust again. The thing that I'd like you to do now is grab a note-taking device. You can have it be a piece of paper, a journal. You can have even the notes app on your phone. That's like my favorite journal right now. Anything that you want to use that you can type into and have free-flowing typing or writing. Your choice. So take a moment, grab a pen and paper, grab your notes app, whatever it is that you want to use. And I'm going to pose a couple of journal prompts. I give you about 1 minute each to write out just free flow, train of thought information, right? We're not going to censor. This is for your eyes only. The first prompt is in the idea of how to open to love again. The first prompt is, how are you available for love? Like, list all of the great things. You know, you own a house, you have a stable job, you have been doing, you know, nonverbal communication, right? Like, you're in therapy. How are you showing up as available for love? Okay, next question. Where do you need to clear up some things in order to be available for love? Right. So do you have a lingering ex that you have to deal with? Do you have trauma from a past relationship? Do you have some mindset issues around the availability of other people? Maybe you have young children, a baby, for instance, not a great time to date, unfortunately. What is it that you need to clear up in order to make yourself available for love? Just a simple list is fine. Please avoid beating yourself up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it's just, it can be as simple as like realizing that you're like, oh, I live in a home with my mother, and that's not ideal for bringing home women or something, right? Like I've spoken with people like that where they have that situation. Or remember like one time someone just told me that they like dated someone and they were sharing like a one bedroom with another guy, you know, and the woman was like, I can't, this guy's sharing a one bedroom. Like it was like, you know, flop house vibes. And it's like, if you don't have the space, looking at like the feng shui of your house, you're where are you not creating space for love to come into your life, right? Sharing a bed with your ex. That's a really, I had a friend do that. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? You're trying to date. You're still sharing a bed with your ex. You can't do that. It's not, unless you're poly and that's what you're doing. But you know, it's that's a whole different scenario.
Okay. The next one is a really fun one. It's a very great practice that we're going to only just scratch at. This is our final journaling prompt here. We have to preface this concept that all of us have done things in the name of love. And some of those things that we have done in the name of love might feel shameful. We might be really embarrassed at how we traveled across the country to go spend time with a lover and it just didn't work out, right? We might be embarrassed or feel ashamed at the vulnerability that we offered a person. We might be feeling ashamed at the way that we offered our bodies sexually to another person as a way to bring them into our lives. And what we want to do is transmute the shame. Transmute the shame by reclaiming it as your offering on the altar of love. Yes, it had some shadows. Yes, it was not a perfect offering. However, it was still an offering on the altar of love, no matter how you showed up. So just take a moment and think about different people, people that you might have courted, people that you dated seriously, casual relationships, one night stands. What did you do? First, we're going to make a list, 20 seconds, to top of mind, one or two things that you did in the name of love that you are ashamed of. Professing your deep desire for someone, right? Mm-hmm. Overlooking red flags.
That's a big one. That's a very common one, I think. Yeah, and it's like you can't always know these things beforehand anyways.
Red flags are hindsight vision. We don't see that because we don't want to. Okay, so pause. I'm sure you have a whole list that you could make. I do encourage you to continue making this list on your own time. It's a really powerful practice. We're going to do the transmutation of it now. Pick one of these things that you did in the name of love that you're ashamed of and gaze at the words that you wrote down, the love letter I wrote to that person, the time I showed up at their door at midnight. Look at that and begin to envision that as the offering on the altar of love. Begin to see it as if it was the most endearing part of you who showed up in that moment, the most innocent, childlike aspect. Continuing to soften, softening in your pelvic floor, really releasing, and just noticing. How did you show up? Can you be gentle as you look upon those words? Can you smile at those words? Can you see them as a place that you were standing for something more beautiful than what you had seen around you? An offering to Venus. And take a deep breath in. Release and just give it a wiggle. Yeah. We do have one at-home assignment, which is super awesome for everyone to take home with you, which is make a list of 100 reasons why you're amazing and lovable. 100 reasons. Mm. And just begin to like flood your system with reasons that you are lovable, reasons that you are amazing.
Yeah, this practice, you can actually do it with a lot of different things. I've used it for 100 reasons why I deserve to make this much money, or 100 reasons why da 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 da. But when you get to like number 20, you find like damn, I'm a catch. This list just helps remind you of your amazingness. It helps remind you of your value, of what you bring to the table, so that when someone does not treat you in the way that you desire to be treated, you don't look at it like, oh, there's something wrong with me. You look at it like, that's not for me. I don't deserve to be treated like that. I will remove myself from that situation, right? We really do train people in how we deserve to be treated. And knowing your worth and getting really clear on it is such a valuable practice. So write that down in your journal. Finally, the climax of tonight's journey, you know, like everyone was probably like, well, what are these new rules of dating, right? What are these new rules? This is the surprise. The new rules of dating start with you. And so when you are thinking about how you want to be treated, what kind of relationship, you know, you want to be in, well, what kind of behavior and actions will support that? Are you going to start being transparent with people about what you're looking for? Being vulnerable with people about what you're looking for? You know, having standards, right? And actually like sticking to those standards in what you're looking for. Starting to craft the new rules of dating for you is what's going to help you start to attract and manifest relationships that are going to be more meaningful, filled with honesty, filled with authentic connecting, filled with being seen. And it's going to transform everything, because when you start to treat other people in the way that you want to be treated, right, you can actually shift the whole dynamic. I've had this happen. I remember I had like, you know, this is a funny story before I share more about this, but I had someone who sent me a dick pic. You know, women, this happens to us very often. And I just shared with the guy, said, you know, I really don't appreciate that. And here's why. And the guy ended up going, like, he actually went into shame, then came back and apologized. And I said, yeah, that's totally right. Like, that's totally inappropriate. And you can never do that to another woman again. And instead of me like going and crumbling and like, you know, just caving in on myself, I stood up for myself. And I said, like, in a very like, you know, clear and cut and dry way, I was like, this is not appropriate. You know, this is not how I, a queen, deserve to be treated. But this can be anything. It can be, you know, if you're used to getting ghosted, you know, it's like, well, actually, like, hey, I didn't really appreciate how you haven't responded back to that text. And, you know, if you don't want to talk with me anymore, that's great, but just let me know, right? We can actually transform the way that people show up. And this is exactly what we're going to be doing in a journey, a 90-day journey, starting at the end of November here. We're going to be going into a crucible for 90 days where you are going to be showing up and devoting yourself to you as the most amazing human, worthy of love, worthy of devotion, worthy of passion, of sexual ecstasy, of emotional connection, of consistency, of all of the things that you're calling in. And we're going to be doing that by devoting and going inward, right? And understanding that all of the things that are showing up in your life are a reflection of what's happening within. And it's really, this is the practice of doing love better by starting from the relationship that you have with yourself. Where do you not have confidence? How do we start to get you in touch with, you know, your dominance and asking for what you want? Where can you surrender more in vulnerability with another? Where can you identify, right, what your relationship vision is and what your ideal relationship feels like? Right. So we're actually going to be diving into a container where you're going to have accountability by Sonia and myself, who have been working with clients around the world for the last 10 years. So combined 25 years, we've worked with a lot of people in love and relationships and sexuality, supporting people in getting confident. Like I was telling one client today on a session, I was like, one of my gifts is like, I help people feel like they're fucking the sexiest goddamn person on the entire planet. Like, you know, I don't know. I can't help it. It just happens, right? Same thing, Sonia. Like, you are so powerful at like supporting people in coming back to the reverence for self. And actually, it can be hard to understand where our blind spots are unless we have help, right? Like, we invest in everything else in our lives. You know, I invest in house cleaning, this and that and that. But because we've never actually received proper training or guidance in love and relationships, it's like, how can you grow, right? If you're not learning about, oh, actually, this is my pattern in relationships and this is how I transform it. So this journey looks like coming onto a session with us live in a group container weekly, except for we'll have a break every fourth week where you're actually going to be having a at-home practice and assignment. So we're weaving in art, we're weaving in romance, we're weaving in somatic practices into these journeys and dropping into ritual. I've done a lot of online programs. I know, Sonia, you have as well. And they're great. You know, it can be nice to like sit there and listen to people, but like, that's not how we work. For us, we really get you making art, crafting yourself as the most magnificent, you know, a character in your own movie, right? Like making yourself the lead main character and feeling incredible about yourself, connecting to your power, connecting to your gifts and your worthiness in love. So yeah, we have each week, there's going to be a different theme. And then we're going to be weaving in myth. So you can also begin to understand how collective stories have shaped our understanding of love and relationships and transforming them.
One of the topics that we talked about when we had that practice earlier in the call today, where we had you drop into the body and feel the different feelings that you have about love, the uncomfortable stuff. What we're going to be doing is using the mythology to demonstrate the shadow side and the gift. And so transforming that shadow into the gift. So this is a big part of what we've done through our joint project of Worshipper, where we are taking old mythology that has oftentimes been used to keep us in a certain kind of programming. And we're going to shatter that spell and repair it, because we all need a reset here.
You know, I've done some amazing group programs in my life, and they are life-changing when you invest in your growth emotionally in this work. So with that, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us via text or on Instagram or by email. This is how we grow, right? Is that we talk about things and we talk about the challenges that we're going through. Because oftentimes it's never like the stuff that's on the surface. It's a deeper level of growth that we have to actually do within ourselves. You know, also too, like some of my past programs in the last year and a half, the men that were in it, they're now in thriving relationships. Isn't that cool? I'm like, wow. We saw one of them this summer. He brought his girlfriend. I was like, hey, man, he just got out of a really toxic long-term relationship. Another guy who came to our Worshipper and did one of my programs last year, he's now getting married. He just got engaged. See, but this is what happens, right? When we do the work to like, because it's like, here's the thing. Oh, you can do one practice, you know, like say show up for something, right? It's like going to the gym once. You're like, oh, I really want to have abs and I want to get fit. But you go to the gym once. You're not going to see any results from going to the gym just once. It actually has to become a daily part of your practice. Going to the gym, working out your body. And you have to do that consistently over, it's usually a period of 3 months before you actually see any tangible results. And the same thing is true for relational intimacy and intelligence. In relating. That's why containers are so powerful, because you have something that you are accountable to, something that you're showing up to, and it gives you a chance to go into the things that you've maybe spent your whole life running from.
Yeah. And for women, I think one of the things that I see is like really a lot of what we have to do as women right now is the self-love is focused on untying our historical ancestral attachment to being cared for by men. This is hard work to face sometimes. Like, how do I want men to save me?
And I think it's that. I think it's okay to be cared for by a man, but it's the savior. Like, and this is actually a complex that actually gets played out a lot. We had somebody talking about it on our last call, where he was like, I fell into like the savior complex, right? Needing to be the white knight, right? Because it makes a man feel powerful, but it's a false sense of power. It's the same thing too, trying to look for a weaker woman so you can feel strong as a man. It's a false sense of power. And again, the women have an inverse, right? It's again, for the woman, it's feeling like a victim, right? So she can be saved. It's a false sense of femininity. It's a false sense of surrender to the masculine. So the kinds of things that we're going to be getting into in the mythic love journey. So if you do want more information, feel free to reach out to us. But it's powerful. Like we both work with mentors as well. Like we wouldn't be able to be where we're at in our journey of being able to relate with people from a place of self-love if we didn't do work on ourselves as well, right? You can't teach something that you're not embodying. So
I don't teach where I haven't gone myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is all very personal work. You know, it's like the ways that I desperately want to see the world turn back to love. Like I am a child of Venus. And this is just very confusing to me. These new rules of dating. I'm like, y'all just like, if you like each other, you should just date. It doesn't matter if you were hurt before, because what if it's different this time, right? Like all of these things, right? And also recognizing the need for a sacred pause at times, right? Which is oftentimes necessary after the end of a relationship. And like, I, this is my offering to the world, is like, I just want to see people learn to trust and love again, mainly by trusting themselves to love again.
Yeah. When you're more intentional with these things, you're more likely to receive intentionality back. Right. And that's the dish that we hope that you get to eat, is a beautiful, intentional, devotional love that is going to nourish your soul, right? Because you are worthy of that. You deserve that. So with that, thank you everyone for showing up, for opening your heart.
Really want to invite you to sit with this question of whether or not you want to invest in your own version of mythic love. Like, can you envision a legendary kind of love in your life in this lifetime?
Yeah.
Starting with your legendary love with yourself.
Thank you, everyone. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. If you enjoyed today's episode, if you got something out of it, if what was shared really touched you, impacted you, transformed you, or shocked you, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to share this episode with your friends and community. Feel free to leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. And let us know, what are your thoughts on what we discussed today?